Why?
I'm Marnie Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. Earlier this summer, Katie Culinary of State Impact Pennsylvania reported that several former employees of the Pennsylvania Department of Health told her they were instructed not to return phone calls from people who were concerned about the health effects of natural gas development. The state has become a hotbed of drilling in the last few years because of the Marcellus Shale. The DOH denied what these staffers said, claiming they had received complaints that were all investigated by the Bureau of Epidemiology. No links between drilling and illness were found, according to the department. Well, this story has created quite a stir. A group of medical and environmental professionals is calling for an audit of the DOH, and two will be joining us later in the show. We begin with Katie Culinary. She's energy environment reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. And Katie, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome. I should say that we did invite a representative of the Department of Health to join us, and they declined our invitation. Katie, let's just go back a couple of years, actually, to Act 13.
Sure.
When the state passed Act 13, was there any provision in the law to monitor health impacts?
Well, early versions of the bill actually included about $2 million to do what's called a health registry, which would monitor monitor the health of people living within a half mile of natural gas development sites. And that was something that was proposed by the former Secretary of the Department of Health, Eli Avila, who proposed this as an idea to Governor Corbett's Marcellus Shale Advisory Commission the year before, and said that this would be a way for Pennsylvania to really be a leader, to really understand, get better data on the health impacts. Because at the time, you have to, kind of going back in time, you have to remember that that was when there were a lot of stories appearing in the media of people who were concerned about their drinking water being contaminated, about their air, causing them to have nosebleeds and skin rashes, and just there were certain ailments that were making it into the news. And so this was sort of the proposal for handling that. Fast forward a year,
Act
13 passes, there was no money put in the bill. It was stripped out of the final legislation. I recently talked to, in sort of investigating this recent story, I talked to some people who were involved in the writing and passage of Act 13 at the time, who said that there was a fear about fear-mongering by creating
fear about fear-mongering.
Right, exactly, with this health registry, that, monitoring people's health might give them something to worry about that they wouldn't otherwise, worry about.
So there is no, as it stands now, basically no money given to DOH, for instance, to investigate any health complaints or concerns.
No.
Your report has to do with a couple of former employees who told you that they were told, essentially by the Department of Health, not to respond to complaints or concerns about possible health-related effects of drilling. Spell that out for us.
Sure. So I spoke to a couple of these former employees who'd been retired, between a year and 2 years, both of them, who described for me, first I was actually looking into, I had heard about this meetings policy, that they weren't allowed or were discouraged to attend meetings or forums about Marcellus Shale. And it turned out that what the policy actually is that all Department of Health employees have to fill out a form and get high-level permission by the deputy secretary in order to attend a forum about Marcellus Shale, which sort of spoke to what these employees described to me as kind of a culture of silence, that it was just an issue that, was really discouraged from being talked about, even among their own colleagues.
But you're saying that this permission to attend a meeting, was that something new and specifically related to Marcellus Shale?
Yes, it was. If you look at the form, we have the documents on our website at State Impact Pennsylvania. It specifically says special initiatives that require Deputy Secretary approval is Marcellus Shale, and also actually the health care exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. So those two issues require this sort of higher level permission, which these employees said, to any kind of, long-term, civil servant would mean, don't go there.
That was the implicit message, or that's how they took the message?
That's how they took it. The Department of Health says that in no way, is meant to discourage them from being informed or to attend these kinds of meetings. They just want to know what employers are going to be saying and doing when they attend these meetings. And if someone takes it the wrong way, that's on them. And so I was investigating, that. I'd heard stories about this policy, and And then as I started talking to these employees, they shared a little bit more information about how the department was handling these complaints. A community health nurse working in Southwest Pennsylvania said that she was supposed to take the caller's name and number and pass it on to a supervisor, which was different than the way that they handled other environmental health complaints.
And you also heard from someone who worked in the Department of Epidemiology as well.
Which was the department where supposedly these calls were meant to go. And even he didn't really have an understanding or a grasp of how they were dealing with it. There were a couple of employees who were maintaining a database of these complaints and supposedly investigating them and making some kind of determination, which the department says there have been about 58 complaints is the latest number that I've gotten from the department as recently as last week. And they say that the investigations into all of those complaints have not shown any kind of link between drilling and health. The key here, Marty, is that the department has not revealed, you know, they've kind of, you know, in math language, they haven't shown their work. They haven't been able to show the public any documents related to these complaints, related to the follow-up or the investigations to show how they've concluded this. And they haven't exactly gone out there and made it a public, you know, message to people, you know, that there's nothing to worry about. They haven't made any firm conclusions.
And these two people that you talked to talked about things like buzzwords. There were certain words, I guess, that were sort of flashpoint words.
Right. There was an email that was sent out in February 2012 to all the community health staff. That's nurses and consultants working in sort of the regional health offices. And the department says that this policy was meant to guide the employees, but that's not how it was received by some of these employees that I talked to. The email included a list of words or phrases that were related to drilling. It included skin rash, hair falling out, drilling, fracking. I mean, it's kind of a strange list of words that we've never quite figured out, you know, where they came from, but they were meant to sort of, you know, be keywords that if employees heard these words, this is the kind of complaint that gets kicked up to the Bureau of Epidemiology. Now, the concern is, I think, you know, whether or not this memo really succeeded in doing what it was supposed to do. I was told that there hasn't been any specific training for employees into how else to counsel people, what kind of information they're supposed to gather when people make these kinds of complaints, other than just sort of sending it up the chain. So there's concern that not all these complaints are making it there.
Well, were these employees also told do not call these people back, so that information wasn't shared with them?
The memo does not specifically say that, but these two employees said that, you know, and they were aware of other community health workers who worked for the department who got the same instructions, that verbally they were told, you know, don't call people back, don't discuss the issue, run it up the chain.
So what's your takeaway about what this memo was about or how it was interpreted or this information?
Well, you know, I think, you know, from the department standpoint, you know, this was an attempt to, you know, provide some kind of guidance. But then, you know, when you have that in combination with the narrative, the sort of culture of silence, that this is an issue not to be talked about, not to be, you know, openly met or discussed about, you know, when you kind of couple those two narratives, it seems like this may have, you know, genuinely been the department's attempt to do something, but that there is something causing the department to kind of constrain their reaction to this. It could be this fear of fear-mongering that we talked about earlier before, but because there hasn't been, as in other states, sort of a more open dialogue in Pennsylvania, I think that's causing a lot of people to question how the department is really handling this.
And what's been their response to some of the complaints and even to what came out in your story?
You mean the department?
Or? The Department of Health.
Yeah, so the department actually came out last week and said that they had formed a working group, it seems in response to these allegations by these two former employees and some of the interest that it's garnered. They formed a working group to sort of reevaluate how they handle these environmental complaints. They said, you know, they felt like they were handling it well before, but it could always be improved. And last week, they came out with an update to their website that specifically tells people how to make an environmental health complaint or a complaint about drilling. And it also explains when to make a complaint to the Department of Health as opposed to the Department of Environmental Protection, because when you're dealing with environmental complaints, you know, it's a little bit muddier. It's a little bit more unclear because it's like, well, you know, if there was a spill in my neighborhood and I think that my rash may be linked to that, you know, do I call the DEP or do I call the DOH? Do I call both? And so this was an attempt by the department to provide a little bit more guidance than we've seen in the last couple of years on these issues.
You mentioned a couple of other states. Are there other states that are being more proactive on this issue?
Well, there are a few other states that are our neighbors, Maryland and New York being two of them, that are sort of, they haven't actually started the drilling and the fracking yet. It's going to happen in Maryland. As we all know, there's this moratorium that's still in place in New York State. But both of them are completing these environmental health reviews. In Maryland, it's what's called in epidemiology an environmental impact assessment, or a health impact assessment, I should say. And so I've talked to officials there who explained this to me, and they said that really what it is looking at the literature that's out there, looking at how it's already impacting states like Pennsylvania, Colorado, Texas, where drilling has been going on now for some time, and examining what the potential pathways for exposure could be with the intent of setting the policy for when they have eventually when they're eventually drilling and fracking, which is not actually happening yet. This is sort of a preemptive step before they start doing that.
Is there any effort that you know of in the legislature to begin to fund some of this research? As you said, that there has been no money put aside for the kind of research I think that people are calling for, including two guests that we have here waiting in the wings. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple of legislators in Pennsylvania, particularly in the Philadelphia region, who tend to be more supportive of these kinds of initiatives, who've proposed a few bills and are trying to push money for research, but so far they haven't really gained any traction in the legislature.
And how many drilling wells are there in Pennsylvania?
I believe more than 7,000 at
more
this
than
point.
7,
more than 7,000.
And most of them scattered in the sort of western or northern part of the state?
Yeah, so the Marcellus Shale is about, 2 to 2.5 to 3 hours away from here in Philadelphia, where we sit right now. It ranges from the northeastern part of the state down to the southwest. And sort of the two richest parts of the Marcellus Shale that are the most productive are in the northeast, Susquehanna and Bradford County. And drilling has really picked up in the southwest of Pennsylvania, where they're pulling out not only natural gas, but things like ethane and propane that are really a lot more valuable.
And it seems that the call is really for the creation of some kind of registry. Is that the main complaint or call at this point?
Right. I mean, I think, and going back to what I mentioned before about the Marcellus Shale Advisory Commission, this was a group of different leaders that was convened by Governor Corbett in 2011 to sort of, take a look at, different aspects of policy that needed to be dealt with when it came to this boom, because it really caught regulators by surprise. The group itself on the commission did not include anyone from the Department of Health or with a public health background, which has been another source of criticism over the years. But there was this testimony by the former secretary who called for this registry and as a way to sort of more proactively study and get some answers, because the fact is that we don't have any concrete answers as to whether or how drilling is impacting public health. We only have a sort of a smattering of studies.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation with Katie Colinari, energy and environment reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. And we have two guests waiting in the wings, part of a group of health professionals and environmentalists raising some concerns about the oversight of health complaints related to hydraulic fracturing here in the state of Pennsylvania. Bit of a mouthful. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back.
The Longs Park Amphitheater Foundation supports WHYY and presents the 36th annual Longs Park Art and Craft Festival. This fine art and craft show will be held rain or shine Friday, August 29th through Sunday, August 31st in Lancaster's Longs Park. 200 fine artists and craftspeople will display an array of jewelry, apparel, paintings, ceramics, mixed media, and more. Wine, craft beer, artist demonstrations, and an art raffle are planned. Tickets and details online at longspark.org.
Hi, I'm Terry O'Reilly. George Takei became famous for playing Sulu on the original Star Trek TV series. Since then, he's become widely loved for his activism and his positive attitude. George Takei on Being Takei, coming up on Cue the Summer from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Hardly anyone has seen Edward Snowden since he disappeared into Moscow's airport complex more than a year ago. But the man who leaked hundreds of thousands of documents that revealed NSA surveillance agreed to talk to journalist James Bamford. We'll talk to him about what Snowden said. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. As I said last Monday, a group of health professionals and environmentalists have asked for an independent audit of the Department of Health here in Pennsylvania for their handling of health concerns raised by Pennsylvanians living in areas in which Marcellus drilling is occurring. And we've been talking with Katie Culinary, State Impact Pennsylvania's reporter for energy and the environment. We have two more guests joining us here in our Philadelphia studio. Adam Garber is Field Director for Penn Environment Research and Policy Center, located here in Philadelphia. Adam Garber, nice to have you with us.
Thanks
on Radio
me.
Times. You're very welcome. Also with us is Ruth McDermott-Levy, Associate Professor in the College of Nursing and Director of the Center for Global and Public Health at Villanova University, also a member of the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And Ruth McDermott-Levy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks,
as well.
Thanks, Marty.
Ruth, let me begin with you, and just jumping off what Katie was talking about. You're part of this group, as are you, Adam, calling for this audit of the Department of Health. What do you specifically want?
Well, basically, we want three things. We do want a health registry, as Katie described, and the health registry really needs to look back at the past, because we're not really sure. As Katie said, there's only been 58 reports since 2011,
I think it is.
2011,
yes,
since the report started.
That's when they started tracking them. Yeah.
But in 2008 is when fracking really took off in the state. So if we can really go back and see what those issues are, and there's got to be more than 58 if we have 7,000 wells.
Right.
So we'd like the a registry to include the past and future health impacts. We also want to monitor all the future health complaints made by residents and workers, because this is an occupational health issue as well. And then lastly, we need independent evaluation of these allegations by health professionals and public health people.
So you don't want the DOH to investigate itself?
Well, the DOH lately has not been looking so good. So I think it's better that we have somebody independent.
Adam, do you want to add to that? I mean, what specifically is your organization looking for?
I mean, I think all the things Ruth mentioned is exactly right. I do think on the investigation, we need also an investigation into how this happened at the Department of Health. As Katie mentioned, some of it may be this confluence of narratives that are coming together to tell the wrong story to workers. And if we're going to make sure that it doesn't happen again and that there was no other wrongdoing in this process, that investigation not only is about public health officials, but someone in government outside of the Department of Health needs to look into it to make sure that employees can speak freely about these kind of issues.
And when there's talk about complaints or symptoms that might be, and obviously the connection has not been made. Katie mentioned some of those symptoms, but can you help us understand what if someone thinks that they might have an impact from a drilling site near them, what would they be looking for?
There's a variety of things. As Katie said, nosebleeds. It's also headaches. People have complained of shortness of breath. And then they're acute symptoms. But then there's also been some reports, and it's all anecdotal, and that's part of our problem with not having a registry, of people saying, you know, they've had brain tumors or other cancers related to the natural gas industry in Pennsylvania. And we don't know for sure. So if we have a registry, we can really track and look at those things.
Do you think a registry, you talked about the fear of creating fear.
Right.
If it's a registry of complaints, but sort of unproven cause and effect, do you think that could create some fears, Katie?
Right. Well, and I think, that was sort of, you know, when I talked to some of the people, as I mentioned, who were part of writing Act 13, they felt a little uncomfortable with the proposal that was made, because they felt like all the details hadn't been worked out about, you know, how monitoring the health of people, you know, would give us any answers. Should it be coupled with a study that's really showing, you know, a link? Because that's always the trouble in science is, you know, you have correlation and you have causation. And it can be really, really hard to find causation. Right now, we sort of have all these anecdotes, as Ruth mentioned. So we sort of have this, you know, possibility of correlation, but and a smattering of scientific studies into this issue, but not sort of a major discussion about, you know, what the potential is and also how to translate that into policy. You know, what are the steps that we can take to say, you know, when it comes to infrastructure for natural gas development, how do we, you know, make that better and you know, regulate for best practices so that people aren't experiencing, say, you know, increased asthma attacks. But we don't know if those increased asthma attacks are happening, for sure.
Well, it looks like did you want to say something?
Well, I just want to add in, because I do think what's especially disturbing about the situation at the Department of Health is we will not get that data. So you were talking earlier about how other states are moving forward and looking at the case studies of what's happening. Pennsylvania, if we had truly done this from day one on the evaluation of health impacts in these communities, we'd be able to tell a better story and understand this causation better, and scientists and health officials like Ruth would have more information. So this is really halting our ability to learn more.
Just picking up on something and going back to you, Adam, when it comes to things like natural gas drilling, how much of that is exempt from environmental standards like the Clean Water Act or the Clean Air Act?
Well, this is a significant problem. In fact, fracking, gas drilling is exempt under most of our federal environmental laws, so the Clean Water Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Air Act. It means that we don't have the normal tools we have to deal with other industrial toxic activities to evaluate the impacts and protect communities. And we need to close those loopholes at the federal level. But in the meantime, the state is going to have to step up and protect these people.
Okay, let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. And again, you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. We have Matthew. And Matthew joining us from, looks like Lafayette Hill. Matthew, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a physician. I'm on the National Advisory Board of the Union of Concerned Scientists. And I, as a physician, am appalled. There is a movement to try to gag physicians from speaking about this if they actually witness any health problems among patients where there are patterns of illness. Now, as a physician, I had to test considerably before I was allowed to be a physician, and there's incredibly insufficient study by design so that there's no information. It's an intentional lack of information. Mm. You know, many of these pumps are leaking, and docs are gagged from speaking about it. Drugs are tested, food is tested, cars are tested before they become consumer items. My question is, why is there such a waiver for all of these unconventional gas producers from being accountable regarding the effects on the environment into the water table and into our food and air?
Matthew, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. I'm going to toss that first to Ruth, but I'd like to get you in on it as well, Katie.
Matthew, thank you so much for mentioning the gag order. It affects physicians, nurses, physicians' assistants. All health providers are not allowed to talk about what they've learned from caring for an individual patient that has been affected by natural gas drilling, once the different chemicals that they may be exposed to. The big problem with that is, as Matthew said, he's studied to be a physician. We learn how to care for people by sharing the information of all the cases. I know how to take care of somebody with diabetes because we've learned from every single case of diabetes. If we keep each case in isolation, we don't know how to care for Pennsylvanians adequately. Mm. So it is a huge problem, and it needs to be corrected.
Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, I'm actually, and just to clarify the gag order, and I think, it's a little inaccurate to say that doctors are being, gagged by the state from talking about their experience and caring for patients. What it is that they have to sign a non-disclosure form if they get information that is considered to be proprietary or trade secret about the chemicals that are used in the hydraulic fracturing process. So it specifically applies to these chemicals and to those chemicals that are deemed a trade secret. And it's language that's in, again, mentioning Act 13, it's
right.
Language that's written into Act 13 that actually, there's been a few lawsuits to try to get it thrown out or clarified in some way that the courts have actually upheld. And say that doctors don't have anything to worry about. They can get this information. They can share it with other doctors in the care of their patients. Because, of course, when you're dealing with environmental toxicology, a doctor, you know, treating a patient is going to need to work with other doctors and talk about the things that they might have been exposed to. And so that's what the gag rule refers to.
Matthew, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And that's Katie Colinari, energy and environment reporter for State Impact Pennsylvania. Also with us, Adam Garber. He's field director for Penn Environment Research and Policy Center, which is here in Philadelphia. And Ruth McDermott Levy, associate professor of in the College of Nursing and director of the Center for Global and Public Health at Villanova University, also a member of the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Ruth, are there physicians or nurses, health professionals who are trained to deal with referrals, for instance, if there are questions about whether someone has a rash related to what they think might be natural gas drilling?
According to the Governor's Commission, they were supposed to educate health providers to manage this, and that has never been done either. So that's been happening. It has not been happening through the state. Pennsylvania State Nurses Association has been doing some education of nurses. Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments has done some education, but the state health department has been hands-off related to this, and that's a frustration as well.
I'm frustrated. You want to add to that, Katie? I mean, is that
sure? Yeah. And to Ruth's point, there was actually a study, a survey that the Department of Health put out through the Pennsylvania Medical Society a few years ago, asking a number of questions about, you know, whether they were seeing patients who were experiencing health effects that they thought might be related to drilling, how many patients they might guess, whether they felt comfortable speaking to them about those concerns or if they knew where they should send a complaint. And I believe that survey was sent to about 8,000 doctors in the medical society, you know, sent out via email. And I think they only got something like a very pitiful
something.
120 responses back. And so, you know, the department said that it was found to be sort of statistically irrelevant, that there was some helpful information there, but they weren't able to do anything about it. But there's no evidence that they've really done anything beyond that survey, that there wasn't sort of an attempt to get some better responses.
We have an email from Scott. This goes to you, Adam. Says, your guest stated that fracking is exempt from the Clean Air Act and other regs. Please clarify the reason for this. Is there anything the federal government can do to address this?
Yeah, in 2005, the Energy Policy Act exempted the fracking industry when it was newborn, if even barely existent, from our federal environmental laws, pretty much across the board, most of the kind of cornerstone environmental laws. And so there are a set of things that could be done. Most notably, the federal government could remove those exemptions. Senator Bob Casey has the FRAC Act. There are other pieces of legislation to restore control of fracking under our cornerstone environmental laws. Unfortunately, they continue to be mired in the federal Congress in D.C., which is not moving many policies forward these days.
Let me go back to you, Ruth. And who, as you said, you want an outside reputable organization to look at the DOH. I mean, the Attorney General looks like she's kind of keeping her hands off. The Auditor General as well.
The Auditor General, and Adam, I think you might know more about this, but the Auditor General has spoken out about the Department of Environmental Protection. So there is some hope there. I just also want to say that this is a new position for healthcare providers to be kind of at odds with the Department of Health. Typically, we have a very good relationship, and we're used to going to them for information and them being very transparent. So it's almost heartbreaking that we can't get the information that we need to either do the research that we need to do or provide the care and address the needs of the community.
Adam, do you want to add to that?
Well, as Ruth mentioned, the Auditor General did do an extensive study of the regulation of gas drilling in the state under the Department of Environmental Protection and came out with a number of recommendations to improve it significantly and where they've fallen down on the job. And, you know, he could move forward. I haven't heard news of him talking about it yet on the Department of Health and do something similar. One thing Katie mentioned earlier was there's this interesting interplay between Department of Environmental Protection, the Department of Health, especially on fracking. And we would argue that they both need to be involved in this issue and should not be just referred to the DEP, because the health department has a unique expertise and needs that to be added into the public policy debate and the investigation.
And the kind of information sharing that seems so critical to that. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah, and actually one of the things that the departments, when they came out with this update of its policies for handling gas drilling complaints, they said that they want to sort of increase their collaboration with the DEP BP and that high-level officials from both departments are planning to meet with each other twice a month to, you know, talk about environmental health issues related to drilling.
Let me get, looks like Larry from Bucks County to join our conversation. Hi, Larry. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
How are you doing? It's a great show.
Thank you.
Again, I was very involved in this issue early on when Nacogdoches Township was fighting off Cabot, I believe. The guy in the baseline data is so crucial in all of this, and it's been out there for years that there's problems associated with fracking. And the fact that nobody has gone for baseline data, to me, is very suspicious. And I think Adam Garber is very aware of this. And I wonder what he makes of the fact that no one has really set up baseline testing to test the water wells of people within a certain range of the homes to get a feeling for their health effects. And to me, it's very suspicious.
Well, Larry, let me...
I attended a lot of seminars.
Yeah, hold on, Larry. I'm going to pull you down only because I'm looking at the clock. I want to give Adam a chance to respond, and I have a couple more questions as well. Go ahead, Adam.
Sure. I mean, I think Larry's exactly right. The part of the point of the public health registry, and as much as possible looking back in time, is to understand, you know, what's going on now and then what happens when gas drilling comes to a community and what health and environmental impacts that has. So we're going to have to figure out a way to analyze the past data and how things progress as drilling comes into communities.
And I guess the question is, how do you create this baseline data? You need enough information to make it statistically relevant, and you obviously need the right professionals to take a look at it.
Absolutely. So definitely we need and the health department is the group to do that. They've gathered data before. They're the central health organization of our agency of our state. So there's kind of two ways of looking at this. Is one would be a health registry where people can just share their symptoms, and then the health department can track those and find out if there is a relationship, because we never are absolutely sure, but we can say that there's a relationship. And then the other registry would be diagnose things by healthcare professionals, that much like our cancer registries or diabetes or asthma. And then we can track that even further. So, but we do need to look backwards to see what we have and then really put something in place, because Pennsylvania could be the standard. It could be, but right now we're not.
Do you think there's effort to move on this, Katie?
Yeah, actually, there's a famous study that's being run by Geisinger Health Systems, and they're sort of collaborating with two other health systems. It's sort of in the north central part of Pennsylvania, where the boom really kind of first took off. And what they're able to do sort of in the absence of this baseline data is to go back in time using their electronic health records. And so there's a lot of anticipation about this study. And actually, the Department of Health, one of the deputy secretaries sort of sits on an advisory board for this. You know, there isn't a lot of public talk about the department's involvement other than, you know, knowing that he is sort of on this advisory board. But it seems that the department is involved in some way in sort of overseeing this, maybe providing some information. But there is a lot of, you know, hope that this study will be able to provide answers by looking sort of at the hard data, because, you know, collecting electronic health records, you know, happens every time you walk into your doctor's office if you're part of one of these three health systems that's participating. So you're not necessarily, you know, thinking about gas drilling per se, but you might be going to your doctor because you've noticed an increase, you know, in the number of asthma attacks you've had. That's actually one of the initial studies that they want to do as part of this, which is why I bring up asthma. But one of the problems with these health studies is that they take a lot of time.
I hate to do that because I have to end my conversation with the three of you, Katie Colinari, Adam Garber, and Ruth McDermott-Levy. Thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times. A packed show. We've got a fourth guest waiting in the wings. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Does your son or daughter come home drunk or high? Would you like to learn new ways of dealing with their drug or alcohol use? The Family Training Program works with parents of children aged 12 to 25 to help them maintain control of their child's drug or alcohol problem. Held in Philadelphia by the Treatment Research Institute, a supporter of WHYY. More on the Family Training Program at 877-I-WORRY-2. That's 877-I-WORRY and the number 2. Or online at iamconcerned.org.
The Emmy Awards have inspired us to feature some of our interviews with great actors in TV series on the next Fresh Air.
I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No, I am the one who knocks.
We feature our interview with Bryan Cranston, who starred in Breaking Bad. Join us.
This afternoon at 3, and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
The man who wants to outdo bin Laden.
It doesn't really matter who the executioner was. This order came from the very top of the group.
Can the U.S. do anything about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the man behind the Islamic State? He wants a war with the U.S. Will the U.S. deny him one? Next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Just a recap here. When Act 13 was passed in 2012 in Pennsylvania, spelling out regulation of oil and gas drilling, there was no money set aside for the monitoring of the possible health impacts of hydraulic fracturing. The Department of Health said it has received more than 50 complaints over the last few years. None of them, according to the department, connected to drilling. A group of health professionals and environmentalists is calling for more oversight of the DOH's handling of these health complaints related to fracking, and that's what we were just talking about. And joining us now is Raina Ripple, director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. And Raina Ripple, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hello, nice to be on.
You're very welcome. Tell us about the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. How long have you guys been around?
We've been around for basically 3 years now. We really opened our doors in January of 2012 when we were joined, got our consultant nurse practitioner on board, and we were formed around this issue, around the topic of shale gas drilling and specific to Washington County in the beginning, and looking at really what people's health impacts were in terms of their perception, looking at the nearby industrial activities, trying to get a sense really of what their exposures might be and then what the best public health guidance could be given what we knew and what we, you know, were trying to figure out and learning. So it's been a process of getting to understand what the air exposures might look like, what the water exposures might look like, what the different chemicals could be that are involved, the different types of environmental circumstances that might be making a difference in terms of how those chemicals are actually coming into people's homes and into their water systems and their air.
You mentioned that.
And then really what the health impacts might look like.
Sure, and I want to talk about all of that. You mentioned Washington County. We're calling you here from Philadelphia County. How many wells are in Washington County? Do you know?
We are the second highest, or one of the second highest, I believe Washington County is the second highest, and it's a moving target, as you know, and so you work with the best available data, and I haven't looked at it, right, honestly, in the last couple weeks, but it was upwards of 800 wells in our county one of the last times I looked. So, and again, this is a moving target. It's,
sure,
it's something that changes on a day-to-day basis.
And that's a lot of wells. I guess you have an office, what, staffed by a nurse and some public health people to talk to people if they come in thinking that they have some health-related issue?
Yes. So what we do is we do intakes, we basically do an environmental assessment of an environmental health assessment of what people's exposures might be, what their health history is. It's informed by medical systems in the United States. We work off of the American College of Medical Toxicology forms, and we've done this. We've created this environmental health assessment to really look at what the nearby industrial activity is, what their potential routes of exposure might be, again, taking a detailed health history from them, what other problems they might have, pre-existing conditions, and then getting a sense of what their current symptoms look like, what their current exposures might be, And has anything changed? Have symptoms come up that weren't there before? Have they gotten worse? Things like that.
Do you see a pattern? Are you seeing a pattern at all?
There's some clear evidence from our perspective in terms of the data that we've gathered that there are air exposures. There do appear to be some level of water exposures. And we're starting to get a much clearer sense of what the type of symptoms appear to be. It's not definitive. You know, we're working with a fairly small population sample, but we have a pretty good sense now that certain exposures are happening. They do appear to be happening a lot of times at night, and then people seem to be waking up, with these acute symptoms that are coming from these nighttime exposures. And that's more to do, of course, with air than it is to do with water. From the other perspective, from the water perspective, given that people are drinking well water, which a lot of our client population is on well water, there appear to be related symptoms that are associated with the consumption of well water.
You talk about air and
symptoms to be understood.
Sure, and we're talking about what vicious kind of headaches, things like that, rashes, lesions. Is that what we're talking about? Nausea.
Yeah. So as you, I think somebody had mentioned one of the site or one of the pages on our website, which goes through a list of symptoms that we're starting to see, and we're working to update that as soon as possible. But those are the things. You get some dermatological skin complaints, rashes. Certainly people have experienced some level of nausea, and gastrointestinal symptoms. Headaches definitely are happening. Mm-hmm. And it happens. I mean, you can start to look at some of these typical exposures, and you can say, clearly there's benzene, for instance. If you have that amount of diesel use, truck traffic, generators, compressor stations, there is inevitably going to be some level of diesel emissions that are going to be significantly higher than they were before. And so you can start to look at what's understood currently in the literature and for healthcare providers and say, well, we understand that benzene would create these certain types of things. We understand that benzene, combined with some of these other factors, might lead to other things. And since we have a toxicologist on our team, he has a fairly good sense of how those things work together and what the end result is going to look like from a health perspective.
There is a call, as you probably know, for the creation of a statewide database. Is that something you favor?
Yes, we really think that the more information, the better. It's not helpful to us and to any of the residents as we see it that there is a lack of data, that there's a lack of understanding of what people are seeing and experiencing. And I think the more comprehensive that can be, the better. I mean, I think it's not helpful in any way for people to say, well, we just don't know. Mm. You know, we just don't know what people are experiencing. We just don't know what the statewide impacts are. Well, at the very least, we could answer that question. And that's a starting point. You know, that's just a place for us to start. But working with that lack of information is extremely difficult, and it has caused, I think, much greater levels of anxiety than are necessary in the face of this industrial development. So at the very least, you would have that type of data to work with. You would not expect people in the presence of a serious health concern like cancer to have no sense of what was or was not happening. You know, so we have a cancer registry. We have data on asthma. We have information that we can look at and we can pinpoint and we can say there's clearly a problem here or there's no problem here. You know, that's the type of thing you need to know. And in the absence of that, it's like a shot in the dark.
How would you characterize the relationship of your project with the Department of Health in Pennsylvania? Do you have a relationship with the DOH?
We had tried early on and had initial conversations with the local office or the regional branch, and we brought this issue to them. We said we're very interested in this issue. We're very concerned about what may or may not be happening. And the answer, for the most part, was we just don't have the resources to do this. We are more concerned about in my mind, what is a little bit more standard public health practices, immunizations, infectious disease, things like that. And they said, those are the things we have the resources to do. Mm. That's what we're going to do. So we said, all right, well, we're going to do this issue and be happy to talk with you. And I've tried to reconnect with one of our contacts there and just wasn't able to reach him more recently. So that's where things stood. If the situation has changed, it would be a good time for us to try again and say if there's more interest in working on this issue, particularly regionally in our area, then we would like to reconnect and see if there's more opportunities for us to work together.
And that's Raina Ripple. She's director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. The fourth of four guests in this hour of Radio Times. We've been talking about some of the concerns about whether there are health impacts from natural gas drilling and a call for a database, the more sharing of information, more transparency. If you want to give us a call, any questions or comments for our guests, that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Raina, have you talked to other health professionals or public health professionals in other states where there is drilling just to be able to educate yourself about what you might be seeing and also what treatments might be effective?
Absolutely. We've been in conversation with a lot with Colorado, some of the researchers and the public health professionals working out of Colorado, specifically the University of Colorado School of Public Health, where you've got John Adgate, and we've had multiple conversations with John Adgate and Lisa McKenzie. And if you're familiar, Lisa McKenzie's group did the study on the birth maternal health and prenatal health and different outcomes that were related, they felt, to some air pollution around the well sites. So that's been the most active group in terms of where there's been a place that's been heavily drilled, that being Colorado. We've also had conversations with Texas. Some of the different researchers in our team have been in conversation with various groups out of Texas and researchers out of Texas. I mean, across the board, we reach out to everybody who's working on this issue, and we certainly are in conversation with New York, where it's not fully happening yet, although they do have compressor stations. We're also working very closely with Maryland and in conversation with the people down in Maryland who are looking more closely at this, more in advance of this, of course, occurring in the state. So sure. Anybody who's out there and we have an opportunity to talk with them, we will and we do.
Is it also confusing because you have at least statewide the Department of Health, you've got the EPA, you've got the Pennsylvania Medical Society, you've got the CDC. I mean, there's so many possible reporting agencies depending on, I guess, what it is that you're dealing with or you think you're dealing with.
Right. And I would suggest, first and foremost, and we've been in conversation with the ATSDR office, which is the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry. So, you know, from the perspective of a disease registry, they would be the top choice in our minds for going and saying, you know, from a tracking perspective, ATSDR really should be looking at this. And so a lot of times we think we would start with ATSDR and start having that conversation. We certainly have that conversation with them. But there's a perspective at the national level that there's just a lot of uncertainty. I mean, you look at the Pennsylvania Medical Society, I think that there's some debate happening there at what is the scientific consensus on this, what is the medical consensus on this, and because in the face of some political pressure, there's not a lot of scientific consensus, and there's certainly not much medical consensus, then in the absence, again, of knowing, it's harder for groups like that, I think, to take action on this issue. And so the bottom line is we don't know. And unfortunately, what you don't know can hurt you.
Sure.
So
yeah.
We need to know. We really, really just, again, bottom line, we need to know what we're dealing with. We need to know what the impacts are. The horse has left the barn. We're in it. You know, there's no question that this is impacting people in Washington County. There's no question that this is impacting people in northeastern Pennsylvania. We were just on a tour in northeastern Pennsylvania last week. It's right there. It's front and center. It's in people's backyards. It's industrial activity at a proximity that we're not used to, and with this, you know, this network of industrial activity. So it's the trucks, it's the compressor stations, it's what we're coming to understand now, these metering stations, these pipelines, the processing facilities, the gas wells themselves, the well pads, the flaring, everything. So it is a broad spectrum of activities. It's happening in close proximity to a significant percent of our population, and there are impacts. There just are. There's no question in our minds that there are impacts. I would challenge anyone to say there's no impact, because there are impacts.
And I hate to jump in here online. We got a lot of people that want to talk to you, but we have no time to take calls. But to you, Raina, does your organization, do you have a stand on shale development in the state? I hear what you're saying, but does your organization take a position on natural gas drilling?
We honestly don't. We look at this from a public health perspective. We understand it's here. We understand that it's happening, and we are neither for nor against from the perspective of we really want to do what's right by the people who are being impacted. So it's not in our capacity to really take as much of a policy statement on it, simply for the fact that then we can't be what we consider ourselves to be, which is more patient advocates. So we're advocating for the public health approach, and we're advocating for actions that people can take to protect themselves given the status quo, given the fact that the industry is here, it's not going away anytime soon as we see it, and so we're happy to share information with groups that are either for or against the shale gas drilling, but we try to be as neutral as possible and say these are the impacts that are happening, and here's what people can do to avoid those impacts. And certainly we're not advocating for those impacts to keep happening in a negative way. Whatever people could do to reduce those, whatever the industry could do to reduce those, we're, of course, strongly in favor of that. But given the reality of the situation, what our focus is in terms of EHP, the Environmental Health Project, is to say, what can we do to help the people being affected?
Well, on that note, we have to end our conversation. Raina Ripple, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Absolutely.
And she's director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project, the fourth of four guests in this hour of Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times to find out much more about this program. Also, you should check out State Impact Pennsylvania and Katie Culinary's reports and other reporters part of that project, which is affiliated here with WHYY. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. And do